All right, 2024 left the Christian community reeling from shakeups, scandals, moral failures, and the list goes on. And one has to wonder, is the house of cards beginning to collapse? Now, what am I talking about? What do I mean by this? I want to give you a verse of scripture, because we're going to talk about this today. We've got a lot that, you know, we don't want to sweep things under the rug, and we want to tackle these things and talk about these things. But let me give you this verse of scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to pull this up. Hebrews 12, 26 through 28. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Translation. In the last days, the Lord has warned us that there is coming this great shaking. And as a result of this great shaking that will affect both heaven and earth, things that are removable, that were meant to be removed, that didn't have a solid foundation, they weren't anchored, they weren't sustained, they weren't built on the rock. There will be many things when this shaking occurs, which I believe we're in the shaking, that there will be an indication of removal of things that are being shaken. And these are, in Hebrews 12, it says, as of things that are made. I don't know how to put this to make this, I'm trying to make this as digestible as you can make this. But there is many things that has been manufactured, programmed, copied, fabricated, manipulated by the hands of man. They've stamped their approval on it. They've cloned it. They've replicated it. By every man's appearance, by the appearance of man, it looks as though this is something great. This is something that's going to be long lasting. It's going to be solidified. It's going to bear fruit. But then as time progresses, something begins to happen. The house of cards that looked like it was standing begins to fall because winds of adversity come. The light of truth shines upon it, and things are exposed. Things are brought to light. Things are brought to manifest, and the bottom begins to fall out from under it. So the writer of Hebrews says, when this once again indicates this shaking of heaven and earth, there will be a removal of things that are being shaken as of things that are made. That the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So the good news, and I bring you today, good and bad. The good news, or let me go with the bad news. The bad news is this. We are in the shaking. We are in the last day shaking, and it's been going on. If you think 2024 was rough, and guys, I could have pulled up story after story, after report, after report of ministry and ministers and pastors and evangelicals and charismatics and Pentecostals and reformers. It's hitting every camp, not just the charismatic Pentecostal circles, but it's hitting every camp of Christianity. Men, women, elderly, young, black, white, brown, all ethnicities, the shaking is happening in the Christian community. It's beginning in the house of God. And the bad news is the shaking's here. And 2024 was almost as if someone was taking the branch and violently shaking it, and leaves that we thought were bearing fruit and were pleasant begin to fall off. They're not there anymore. The branch is bare. It's gone. Some of the branches broke off because they bore no fruit anymore. They started out good, but they did not remain. The bad news, the shaking's happening. The bad news is things are being removed. Ministries are being removed. Ministers are being removed. Networks being removed. The good news is that there still remains a remnant. Now, how are they remaining? Because they are founded upon the rock. They didn't build their empire based on a name. They didn't build their ministry upon a personality. It was founded upon Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. So there's your bad news, there's your good news. And this is just the introduction, as we're going to get into some stuff today. We're going to show you that this shaking is continuing even in, I believe it's going to get a lot worse in 2025. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, again, End Time Headlines here. This is news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Guys, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button. That's going to help us get eyes on this ministry and on this message here on YouTube and also on Rumble as well. And you guys listen by Apple, by Spotify. If you can give us a good review, that would be greatly appreciated. That would help us out as well. So I want to give you another verse of scripture here, guys. Very familiar with. We're going to pull up a couple of scriptures here. I just want to remind everybody, when we're seeing what we're seeing happening in the body of Christ, this should not catch us off guard. In Matthew 24, when the disciples sat down with Jesus and asked him, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? The first thing he told them, again, and I always preface this, that he superseded this above everything else. He put this on the front burner. He put all the earthquakes, disasters, and plagues, and famines, and wars, all that. He put that on the back burner, and he pushed up priority to this, verse 4. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. So he warns that there will be those in the last days that will even call themselves the Messiah. Now that's the highest level of deception, when individuals come forward and they call themselves Christ. They call themselves the Anointed One. They call themselves Jesus. They call themselves the Messiah. He says these things will happen. But then you can go into when you go into the gospel letters of Peter and Paul and Jude, and you can read the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, they go into even more clarity and detail, and they talk about the rise of false preachers, teachers, apostles, prophets that are deceived and will deceive many. And they will deceive them through false doctrine, flattery, deception, lying signs, wonders, miracles, all these things. These things were told to us. And Jesus prioritized these things above everything else. He said, listen, all the wars are going to happen, and the pestilence and the plagues and all these things. This is inevitable. But the greatest thing that you need to worry about is being deceived. Being deceived. And And as the introduction of this, as we talk about this, I believe, and I'm not here to say that every, especially the, at least one of the individuals here that I'm going to talk about. The other one I don't really know much about. The one of these, I wouldn't say that they're a false prophet or teacher, but things are being shaken. Don't miss the original point of what I'm saying here. There's two inevitable things here, two inevitable things that you need to know. One is that deception is going to increase in the last days. And two, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. So even, watch this, even ministers and ministries that we would have never believed are toppling and being shaken, and branches are falling, leaves are falling, fruit is falling. What is going on? The shaking? The shaking's happening. There's a great shaking happening, and things that will remain will remain. So let's just go ahead and get into this, and then we'll elaborate a little bit more on this. I want to start with Daystar. Now, I want to preface right off the bat that the information I'm about to share is all known. I am citing legitimate known sources, information that is publicly known. This is not my opinion. These are sources that are out there. And so this is for educational purposes only, and to inform the body of Christ. Now, when we talk about Daystar, we're talking about Daystar Television, which is, and I'm going to read this just from Wikipedia again, because I said this is for educational purposes. It is an American evangelical Christian-based religious television network owned by the Word of God Fellowship, founded by Marcus Lamb in 1993. It is headquartered in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex in Bedford, Texas. In 1984, Marcus and Joni Lamb moved to Montgomery, Alabama to launch the state's first full-power Christian television station, WMC-TV. The Lambs built the station for the next 5 years and sold it in 1990. Yada, yada, it goes on. And then the next move, they went to Dallas, Texas, where in 1993, they purchased the formerly defunct KMPX. In 1996, with a large contribution from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the Lambs purchased a station in Colorado, officially turning the television ministry into a network. And then in August of 1997, the small staff moved into a 32,000 square foot facility that included production studios, and Daystar was officially launched in 1997 on New Year's Eve. And then fast forward to March 21st, 2011, Daystar announced that it would downsize its production studios in Ashland, Kentucky, Houston, Texas, and Denver, Colorado. Effective the following month, the facilities would continue to be used as transmitters but not broadcasting centers, leading to layoffs. Fast forward to November 30th, 2021, Marcus Lamb passed away after being hospitalized with COVID. All right. So in 2003, again, this is all public knowledge, Daystar was under investigation by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, centering on allegations that Daystar sold airtime on its non-commercial educational stations for profit gains. The investigation complicated Daystar's $21.5 million bid for KOCE-TV, which is a PBS station in Huntington Beach, California, which at the time mainly served the suburban area of Orange County, and other license renewals. After a lengthy process, Daystar and KOCE-TV eventually came to an agreement where Daystar leased a digital subchannel of KOCE and broadcast network programming over KOCE-DT3 into Orange County in the Los Angeles area. Again, this agreement has remained in place in the early 2020s. All right, fast forward November 30th. Actually, we're going to go back here. November 30th, 2010, Marcus Lamb appeared on Celebration and admitted to having an extramarital affair several years before, revealing to viewers that unidentified individuals had attempted to extort money from him over the incident. He said that he had since reconciled with Joni over the matter, and the Lambs subsequently appeared on Good Morning America and Dr. Phil to discuss their experiences with marriage counseling. Again, Lamb's confession sparked a series of legal actions against Daystar. And again, Yachty, this goes into great detail, which we're not going to talk about this. All right, then we'll get into the more recent. This one, again, this is dated on Monday, May 13, 2024. Again, this is from the ChristianPost.com, not my opinion. Quote, did Daystar's Joni Lamb use ministry's jet for personal trips, and is that okay? Now, according to this report, since October of 2022, Daystar Television Network's ministry jet had made 24 round trips, flights from Fort Worth to Colorado Springs, and 13 round trip flights from Fort Worth to Destin at an estimated cost of $769,220. The purpose of the Colorado Springs flights were a mystery until Daystar President Joni Lamb announced her engagement to Colorado Springs psychologist and author Doug Weiss in March of 2023. You may want to get acquainted with this guy right here, because he is going to be the center focal point of everything that's leading up to where we're going. The following screenshots show Daystar's jet flying to Colorado Springs and returning to Texas 2 days after Lamb's surprise engagement announcement. Is it appropriate, again, quote, is it appropriate for a church leader to use the ministry jet to visit a fiance? Now, here is the screenshot where the flights were made. If the couple used commercial aircraft rather than ministry jet for personal flights, they could have saved more than $700,000 on travel expenses. Lamb and her late husband, Marcus Lamb, co-founded Daystar. Okay, we don't want to read all that. We've already got all this. All right. Lamb described her husband's death in her new book, Through the Storm. The news shot out to the world that Marcus died from COVID. He did not. According to Lamb or Joni, he was hospitalized for COVID, but was recovered and died from heart failure. That's irrelevant to what we're talking about here, though. Two months after the death of Marcus Lamb, Doug Weiss, who is now Joni's husband, filed for divorce from his wife after 30 years of marriage, Lisa Weiss, and the divorce was granted in May of 2022. Lamb and Weiss began dating in August of 2022. That's when the opportunity came up for us to go to New York City, chaperone, of course, reports Lamb in her book. The couple married 10 months later. In September of 2023, Lamb and Weiss purchased a beach condo near Destin for $2.9 million, which explains why the couple began flying to Florida to the panhandle. Trinity Foundation's Pastor Planes Project uses ADS-B exchange to track evangelist aircraft. Daystar's Gulfstream GV jet is identified by the tail number. That's irrelevant here. Daystar's jet frequently leaves Colorado Springs and Destin less than an hour after arriving. Under normal circumstances for a weekend trip, a generic ministry jet would land at its destination on a Friday and stay grounded until the return flight on that Sunday. Instead, Daystar's jet regularly returns to Fort Worth and reaching its destination and a few days later returns to Colorado Springs or Destin. The practice doubles the number of flights involved, so it appears that the jet operates like a, quote, taxi service, quickly dropping off or picking up passengers. And again, these are all the dates. They've got them all listed here. Again, it's all public knowledge, guys. Christian Post reported all this. Because of the Word of God Fellowship claims to be a church, the organization is exempt from nonprofit financial reporting requirements and doesn't file a Form 990 disclosing travel costs. However, creating estimates of travel expenses is possible due to public flight data. And according to Liberty Jet, the average cost per mile for a Gulfstream GV jet flying 200 hours per year is about $19.58 per mile. Airport distance calculator reports the distance from Fort Worth Meacham Airport, I believe that's how you spell it, to Colorado Springs Municipal Airport, and is 507 aeronautical miles. If Daystar Jet averages 200 flight hours per year, the cost of a flight to Colorado Springs is about nearly $10,000. Therefore, a round trip could cost as much as close to 20 grand. Therefore, a rough estimate of Daystar's flights to and from Colorado Springs in October of 2022 would be nearly $500,000, guys. All right, and then they go on and go on, and they break down the whole total, and it all comes out to be, again, nearly $1 million with the estimate around $769,220. Now, you say, well, Brother Ricky, what's the point of talking about this? The point I'm trying to make here, guys, is that the whole Daystar debacle thing, them being in the limelight, them being in the crosshairs of some type of something going on, is nothing new here. Okay, then you had Robert Morris. We all know the whole thing with Gateway Church. Robert Morris, the child sex abuse scandals and everything that went on. They completely kicked him to the curb. He was ousted from his ministry, and then consequently, I find this interesting. And then, of course, consequently, he was a regular on Daystar. But once they found out about all this, of course, the pressure came on them. Where are you going to side? Because he's a regular contributor of Daystar. He's on the network. So the questions was being asked, what are you going to do when the pressure came on? Daystar Television removed Robert Morris' content from their network following these abuse allegations. All right, now fast forward, and that brings us to present day. What is going on with Daystar now? What is all this about, Brother Ricky? Well, we're going to get to this. All right, now the following is from CBN News. Again, reputable site relaying information. I'm going to read this to you. Quote, in fact, we'll just pull this up so you can read it right here on the screen with me. Over the past week, Daystar Television Network, the Christian TV empire, again, we don't want to reiterate all this. Lamb's son, Jonathan, and his wife, Susie, these are two individuals that you're going to want to come acquainted with. They're going to be coming to, all this is going to come front here. Alleged their young daughter was molested by a family member and that the horrific ordeal was improperly handled. Now, those stunning allegations come amid a dispute over leadership changes with Daystar. Marcus Lamb, again, he passed away in 2021 due to complications, and leaving his wife Joni to serve as president of Daystar. Jonathan had served as vice president but was demoted in April after, quote, purportedly declining to sign a non-disclosure agreement or NDA. Audio provided to investigative reporter Julie Royce features Jonathan and a representative from Daystar speaking about a document Jonathan had declined to sign and an ultimatum. This audio, and by the way, that was with Jimmy Evans. I listened to the entire audio. Let me pull this away. Now, this, I will interject my opinion because this has nothing to do with this whole scandal, case, whatever. But there were statements made in that audio that was super cringe to me. And they were both related primarily to Jimmy Evans. And those statements was multiple times Jimmy Evans referred to Joni Lamb as the voice of God for Daystar. He referred to Joni Lamb as the voice of God to Jonathan. And even in the audio, I'm not going to pull up the audio. Go listen to yourself. It's out there. Even in the audio, Jonathan, it raised an eyebrow. He even rebutted it and said, wait a minute, what? She's the voice of God for me? And Jimmy Evans replied, yes, over and over, multiple times. And the second thing that he said was there was a dialogue where he told Jonathan, I know you think that you are a watchman. You've been called to be a watchman. He said, but that is Old Testament. That is not in the New Testament. Well, I got news for you. You're wrong, sir. There is watchman in the New Testament. There is watchman in the New Covenant. We're out here. We're watchmen. Now, your church may reject us. Your ministries may reject us. They may not want us because they don't like being exposed. Listen, wolves don't like watchmen. Wolves will do everything they can to keep watchmen out of their church. Why? Because watchmen identify things going on. Watchmen keep the wolves out of the hen house. All right? Now, that was my opinion. Now, I'm going to go back to the facts. All right, according to CBN News, the audio provided to investigate reporter Julie Roy features Jonathan and a representative from Daystar speaking about a document Jonathan had declined to sign in an ultimatum. This audio, which doesn't provide context on the document he's being asked to inscribe, is reportedly from last November. Quote, if you do not do that, then you are removing yourself from the board and removing yourself from your vice president position, and you are then still an employee, the representative warned. That's where we are. Now, this right here, guys, this is talking about this NDA. I want to make some clarification here. This is not the audio that I was referring to. I was referring to the whole lecture that Jimmy Evans and Joni Lamb sat down with Jonathan and Susie and basically told them, either you agree with Joni on everything she says and you comply, or you leave. You're out of here. You're done. And this was an hour and a half conversation. All right, the drama surrounding Jonathan's relationship with Daystar is unclear, though the situation reportedly intensified after this exchange as he was terminated by the network earlier this month over what the organization allegedly calls deficiencies in his, quote, judgment and performance. The situation is complicated by the fact that Jonathan's sisters and brothers-in-law are also on staff at Daystar, possibly adding multiple intricacies to an already difficult scenario. Now, we've got an audio clip here, or actually a video clip. It's from her podcast, a recent podcast by Allie Beth Stuckley, and she talked about this. So we're going to go here. Let's do a reaction video on this where she's going to talk about this herself on her program.
Jonathan Lamb, the son of Daystar president Joni Lamb, and Jonathan's wife, Susie, are alleging in recent interviews that a family member and employee of Daystar, only identified as quote-unquote Pete, is suspected of sexually abusing their daughter, and that Joni and other higher-ups at Daystar covered up the allegations. However, Joni Lamb claims that the cover-up allegations Jonathan Lamb, the son of Daystar president Joni Lamb, and Jonathan's wife, Susie, are alleging in recent interviews that a family member and employee of Daystar, only identified as quote-unquote Pete, is suspected of sexually abusing their daughter, and that Joni and other higher-ups at Daystar covered up the allegations. However, Joni Lamb claims that the cover-up allegations are part of a smear and blackmail campaign and a power struggle for leadership in the wake of his, Jonathan's, recent firing.
Okay, so stop. There's a revelation. So now Joni has come out, and we're not going to show the audio clip, but she made an audio clip and basically, again, called it an act of blackmail. When Jonathan and Susie came forward with these allegations, Joni is calling this blackmail and saying this was all this is about power struggle. That's what, according to what Joni is saying. So, this is an absolute conundrum, and it's just sad. And again, meanwhile, and I want to get into this now, but I'm going to talk about the repercussions of this in the Christian community when we get to the end of this podcast.
So why now? Because these allegations have actually come to light in the past. So why are we now talking about this? Jonathan and Susie brought their story to an investigative journalist in August 2024. This decision came after years of growing disagreements with the family and Daystar, namely Joni's remarriage to a recently divorced man and Susie being let go from Daystar. far. Also, the police reopened the investigation into the sexual abuse claim in late 2023, early 2024. And this recent report talking about these allegations then triggered new media attention surrounding the story. Jonathan and Susie made a video on November 29th, just a few days ago, posted it to X to answer any questions and to tell their own story of what really happened. So before we get into more details about that, I want to give you a little bit of a background on Daystar if you don't know who they are. This is according to Christianity Today and New York Post. It is one of the world's largest Christian TV networks with approximately 100 channels. It was founded by Joni and Marcus Lamb, is reportedly worth $1 billion, employs about 300 staff, turns over approximately $100 million annually. And as Jonathan and Susie said, they first reported allegations. CEO of Daystar, who helped found Daystar. So Jonathan and his wife alleged in recent interviews that a family member and employee of Daystar, only identified as Pete, is suspected of sexually abusing their daughter. Pete has denied abusing the child, according to a letter from Pete's attorney. This is the timeline that they have articulated on X. So Jonathan and Susie said they first reported allegations of abuse against their daughter to police in Colleyville, Texas in November 2020. Susie said their daughter told her in November 2020 that she had been molested using graphic details. This is so sad and disturbing, so just be warned. Susie said that her daughter said the molester was, quote, taller than daddy. Susie contacted her daughter's school, but was told there were no adult males working there. From there, they filed a report with the police. According to the department, the case was closed shortly after. Jonathan and Susie said they believed the case was closed because their daughter was too terrified and traumatized to talk to the police at that time. And just for context, it does appear that the daughter was 4 years old at the time that she was talking to her parents about being molested by someone. Then in 2021, Jonathan and Susie claimed that after their initial complaint was made, another alleged incident involving their daughter occurred. Jonathan and Susie Lamb alleged that in the summer of 2021, they caught Pete alone with their unclothed daughter in a room at a beach house Daystar rented for its annual executive retreat in Miramar Beach, Florida, and confronted him about it. I have a lot of questions about how in the world that happened. Right. When Susie Lamb reported this to Joni Lamb, Susie claimed that she was told not to report it to the police. Jonathan and Susie claimed that Joni and Marcus told them that Pete had been cleared of any wrongdoing by a forensic psychologist who had interviewed and examined him. Here's stop one.
And a few days later, my father calls me and my brother-in-law into his office. He tells us that Pete has been cleared by this forensic examiner and that we need to submit and move forward.
Yeah, and all we ever knew in our lives, all we had ever done is obey and submit. We had never questioned.
Yeah, so
even though I had big, strong doubts, I was angry. I'm not going to just lie and say that, you know, I moved on.
At the end of the day, I trusted that my dad had actually gone through the process of clearing Pete with this examiner, and we moved forward.
Okay, so very strange. This was obviously right before Marcus, his dad, had died, because he died later in 2021 from COVID complications. 2023, Jonathan and Susie took their daughter to a counselor who reported the suspected abuse to Texas Child Protective Services. The couple says the police investigation was reopened. In their video posted to X, Jonathan and Susie claimed that the forensic psychology reports, which were claimed to have cleared Pete of any wrongdoing, were never complete. I don't really understand how a psychology report would have cleared anyone of wrongdoing. I don't really understand how that was ever considered part of a proper process.
It's not.
To see if someone really molested a child. That just doesn't even make any sense to me. That's very strange.
Yeah, huge red flags.
A spokesperson for the Colleyville Police told the New York Post that the department couldn't release further information as it is an open investigation. No charges against anyone have been brought at this time. Jonathan and Susie Lamb claim that Jonathan's late father, Marcus, and mother worked to protect Pete and Daystar's image rather than their own granddaughter. Hmm. Now, Joni Lamb has a response to all of these allegations and the fresh reports of these allegations. So Daystar released a written response last week claiming that they investigated the claims internally, found no evidence of wrongdoing. They also point out that the allegation became public only days after Joni had fired Jonathan from the network earlier in November. So she's basically claiming, Joni is basically claiming, no, that's not true. We didn't cover this up. This is just retaliation because Jonathan is mad that he was never made CEO and president and that he has been fired.
All right, guys. Now, that's pretty much the conclusion of this whole Daystar debacle. But here's something else you may want to know is that the Daystar Network, their lawyers are sending out letters, threatening letters, to multiple YouTubers who are just simply reporting this. We could be one of them. I don't know. But we just, all we did was present all the facts of the entire story in the context. So I don't know if there's a base for a lawsuit for that. But nevertheless, Daystar is on the rampage and they're sending out lawsuits. They're sending out lawyers, letters, and you can go, you can search this on YouTube. It's out there. Now, I want to move to a different story. This one honestly really shocked me, to be honest with you. All right, this story broke yesterday. We reported this on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org. Michael Brown. Many of you guys may not know who this is, especially the younger Christians that are watching. For you guys that are my age and older, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal circles, you probably know Michael Brown. He was influential. He was involved with the Brownsville, Pensacola outpouring revival that took place from 1995, and it went about 7 years there with John Kilpatrick, Steve Hill, evangelist Steve Hill. Millions of people was impacted by that major revival that broke out on Father's Day of 1995. Well, Michael Brown, according to the latest report, admits to a, quote, lack of judgment as a woman has come forward and has accused him of sexual misconduct. Let's see what this is about. All right, Michael Brown, who is the host of the nationally syndicated Line of Fire radio program, who is also president, founder, and professor of practical theology at Fire School of Ministry, admitted to a, quote, definite lack of judgment, but denied allegations that he engaged in sexual misconduct with a former female staffer that he said he treated like a, quote, family member 23 years ago. So this was 23 years ago, and we're just now hearing about this. Both Nancy and I were shocked and horrified by the mix of accusations, allegations, false statements, and mischaracterizations. That's why we wholeheartedly supported our board's immediate decision to launch a thorough third-party investigation. Brown stated this in a statement to the Christian Post that was also shared with the Roy's Report, which published the allegations Monday evening. Nancy and I did have a relationship with the woman in question and considered her to be like a family member. And she conducted herself as one who viewed our relationship the same way, but she was not a family member. And aspects of my interaction with her, although totally non-sexual in every way, reflected a, quote, definitive lack of judgment on my part. So this, it's kind of an interesting wording there. He said that he considered her a family member, and aspects of her interaction with her were like a family member in a relationship, but they were, quote, totally non-sexual, but the actions that were committed defined a lack of judgment. So it's kind of like a mixed wording there. The former female staffer, who was only identified by Aaron, said she quit working at the Fire School of Ministry back in 2002 when she was just 21 years of age because she had grown uncomfortable with Brown's frequent slapping of her buttocks, kisses on the lips, and hand-holding episodes. Wow. Now, I just want to interject here. If this is a true statement by Aaron, then this is definitely, definitely sexual in every way. Despite Brown's statement of it being non-sexual, if he indeed was frequently slapping her butt, kissing her on the lips and holding her hand, then that's definitely crossing the line. But is that what he's talking about when he said it was, quote, a definitive lack of judgment? See, that's what I'm saying. It makes it very vague here. Quote, he was supposed to be a spiritual father, Aaron told TRR. He was supposed to look after me. Aaron said that when she was 18 years of age, she attended the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry back in 1999, where Brown served as president until he was fired in 2000. Okay, I didn't know that, but now we do. Brown then started the Fire School of Ministry in Pensacola, Florida, where the school operated until 2003 when it was relocated to North Carolina. Aaron explained that she followed Brown to his startup school and he asked her to call him dad, and she obliged. Again, quote, Aaron explained that she followed Brown to his startup school and there she was asked to call him dad, and she obliged. She recalled that because she had endured a difficult home life, she initially enjoyed the attention Brown paid her. She said they would write enduring notes to each other. So there was note writing to one another. Again, guys, lines are already being crossed here. The fact that Brown asked her to call him dad, weird. Number two, writing notes to one another, to me, that's weird too. Quote, I looked at it as a blessing because of the respect that we all have for him. According to Aaron, in less than a year of her working at the new school, Brown, who was involved with providing guidance to the International House of Prayer Kansas City as they navigated founder Mike Bickle's sexual misconduct scandal. Interesting, isn't it? Oh, the irony of this. The whole irony of this. Brown himself involved with providing guidance to the International House of Prayer Kansas City to navigate their founder, Mike Bickle's sexual misconduct scandal, started holding her hands. He lifted it up in the truck, and he's like, you all know that I think of Aaron as my daughter, and said, quote, that's why we're holding hands, because she's like a daughter to me. So there was apparently eyewitnesses that saw this, the hand-holding. Aaron alleges that the hand-holding eventually progressed to other contact, including kissing. Now that's, again, guys, wow. And again, this is all alleged. Aaron said she was alone in Brown's office one day when he asked her to kiss him on the lips. She says she didn't want to kiss him, so she gave him a peck that day. Kisses on the lips, however, would become a part of their goodbyes when they spent time alone. Quote, it was no longer Brown was asking for a kiss, she recalled. It was Brown leaning down to get a kiss. I knew I couldn't stop it, or I felt I couldn't stop it. Brown later began slapping Aaron's buttocks habitually. The publication cited multiple former employees of the ministry who say they witnessed what appeared to be inappropriate behavior between Brown and Aaron, including Aaron sitting on Brown's lap. Guys, again, it's one thing to take one individual's testimony per se, but now they're saying multiple former employees say they witnessed themselves what appeared to be inappropriate behavior between these two, including Aaron sitting on Brown's lap. Guys, this is just sad. Aaron also told TRR that she found a letter while house sitting for Brown and his wife, Nancy, in which he confessed to having an inappropriate relationship with a married woman. The letter basically stated that they were having a talking relationship and how they would dream about having sexual relations with each other and what they wanted to do with one another, how she wanted to wrap her legs around him, and he played into it. And his response to CP on Monday, or this is the Christian Post, Brown denied ever committing adultery, but said he had previously confessed the emotional affair and believed the matter to be settled. Okay, and then he goes on and he reads. You can read a lot of this, guys. I don't want to get into every single detail, but he goes on and he talks about all this. I'm going to read on down here. Despite Brown's denial 2 weeks ago, the line of fire board reportedly hired the law firm Mitchell, Stein, Carey, and Chapman to conduct a third-party investigation, the results of which they will make public once complete. Now it's interesting that his ministry hired the lawyers. It sounds like a conflict of interest that his ministry hired these investigators. Anyway, Aaron said the experience she had with Brown has made it difficult for her to trust ministry leaders. And guys, that brings me to my final conclusion in just a moment. So I want to highlight that. Brown insists he was not aware that his behavior had impacted her as reported and is willing to work to make amends so healing can take place. Now, that's interesting. So he's confessing here that he was not aware that his behavior had impacted her. I wasn't aware that holding your hand, kissing you on the lips, slapping your butt, and having you sit on my lap I wasn't aware that this was impacting you when you looked up to me as a spiritual father and you as a spiritual daughter. Quote, the fact is that my actions towards her were certainly foolish and irresponsible, but neither sexual or amorous in any way. And my highest priority, as well as Nancy, is to have the opportunity to meet together in a setting acceptable to her and bring healing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. Where I can take full responsibility for the things which apparently hurt her so deeply. Things which I thought we addressed 23 years ago. So apparently, guys, when reading this, Brown's wife is taking Dr. Brown's side. He's right alongside. She's not backing down. She's siding with him. I want to read this. Quote, that being said, if it's true that for 23 years, she has carried this pain and I am responsible for it, I am beyond mortified and would plead forgiveness and the opportunity to bring healing and restoration. Her well-being remains our priority. Now, I want to close with this statement right here. Aaron said the experience she had with Brown has made it difficult for her to trust ministry leaders. Now, that leads me to this final conclusion. Guys, we're in the last day shaking. I said this at the very beginning. I truly believe that. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that the things that can remain and will remain. But there's things that are not going to remain. As this shaking continues all the way up into the end of the age and this thing comes to a close, I think many of us are going to be absolutely shocked at the amount of leaders and ministries and entire empires built on Christianity is going to collapse and fall. Now, the sad part is the casualties that's going to come from this. Just like, you know how many people represent Aaron on multiple factors? Is anyone else sick and tired of the sexual misconduct, reports, allegations, activity, the incidents, all of these things, it's coming out of the body of Christ. And what is this doing, guys? It's bringing a reproach to the body of Christ. You know what it's doing? All these, and we wonder why we sit back and we scratch our head and we wonder why. We sit back and we scratch our head and we wonder why people are not coming to the body of Christ. Why are people not coming to church anymore? Why are people turning away from the faith? Guys, I'm not saying this is the only reason, but you know how many people Aaron represent out there that's been wounded and hurt by the church? They look up to leaders, pastors, ministries to shepherd them, to equip them, to prepare them for the end times, to weather through trials and tribulations and the upheaval of things going on in the world. They're looking for ministers and ministries as a compass to guide them. But instead, they're taking advantage of them. They're molesting them. They're abusing them. They're grooming them. They're committing acts against them and on them. And then they use their money and their influence and their esteem and their power and their wealth to cover it up, to mask it, to hide it, to twist it, to contort it, to hire lawyers, to sweep it under the rug. I'm sick of it, guys. I know you are too. It's just sad. It's very sad. And meanwhile, to save their face in the name of this empire of Christianity, the victims are falling by the wayside. The victims are falling by the wayside. How many of these, how many Aarons out there has fell prey to this that we will never know? How many other ministries have done this that's going to come to light in 2025? How many other networks are going to come under the scope? How many other evangelists and pastors and prophets and teachers and apostles are going to come to light? Meanwhile, again, the Aarons out there are suffering it. We don't even know. Has anybody done a follow-up on this girl? My heart breaks for this woman. My heart breaks for this. Look, while everybody's so focused on, oh my gosh, Daystar or Joni Lamb, or what are they going to do with Daystar? What if we can't get the Christian superstars onto that platform and on the stage anymore so they can tickle our ears? What are we going to do to save this empire? Well, what are we going to do about the four-year-old? Has anybody talked about that? Well, everybody's focused on Joni Lamb and Jonathan and Susie. God bless them and their parents that's been victims of this. But what about this four-year-old child? What about her, who's going to be messed up for the rest of her life? I pray that she's not, but pray that she gets counseling and healing and restoration from this. But what about her? But guys, can we please stop putting people on pedestals? Listen, I am a man. I am flesh. I love many of you guys. Many of you guys are our partners and supporters of our ministry for many, many years. But I need you to know something. I am a steward of the ministry that God has entrusted me with. Listen, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord, just as well as he gave me this ministry, he can choose to take it. Now, I pray he don't. But I'm a conduit. I'm a steward of it, of this ministry. I am not the voice of God for End Time Headlines. That's ridiculous. Now, the voice of End Time Headlines is Ricky Scapero. The voice of Daystar is Joni Lamb. But Joni Lamb is not the voice of God at Daystar. Now, she can be influenced by the voice of God and directed by the voice of God at Daystar, just like I am the voice of End Time Headlines, but I am not the voice of God at End Time Headlines. I'm influenced and pray that I'm influenced by the voice of God for me to be a steward of this ministry at End Time Headlines, okay? So the problem is, guys, we've got to stop putting people on these pedestals and making these ministers and ministries untouchable. And for goodness sake, get some accountability. You know how many, listen, you would be shocked. I posted on social media yesterday that a married man or woman of God should in no circumstances ever find themselves alone with someone of the opposite sex. Now, there was a time that would make sense, but today you have to be more specific because of the times that we're in and the abominations that has been but that's been put a stamp of approval on and been accepted, called unnatural affections. But I'm trying to tell you guys my wife and I, who just celebrated our 24th anniversary, 24 years of marriage. And one of the reasons why we've remained faithful in our marriage is because we've lived by the Billy Graham rule. He coined that, so I'm going to use that. I don't go ride in a vehicle by myself with someone of the opposite sex. I'm not going to go on a lunch break with someone of the opposite sex. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to get on Facebook Messenger and have intimate conversations, writing letters, writing a chat, this and that with someone of the opposite sex. Why? Because again, these are guard ships that I put in our marriage to protect it. And she does the same. And we oblige by this. Now, has there been temptations? Of course there has, on both of us and in your marriage. But again, but God has been faithful and we have been true to his word because we have put up these boundaries. But you'd be shocked when I put this out on social media, the amount of feedback we got, the kickback, the revolt that we got by. And it doesn't surprise me, honestly, because this is where we're at. The level of morality and standard has been so lowered that there is no standard in morality. It blows my mind that these pastors and leaders have no accountability. What leader, what man of God would have an office where he allows women just to come in at free will alone in his office? I don't understand. And listen, I'm not picking on Dr. Brown, but I can name other preachers that I know for a fact allows that to happen. And I'm not going to do that here today. And so it doesn't surprise me later on when things surface. Because again, you play with a bunch of snakes, you're going to get bit. I want to say this. Remember what I'm telling you today. The shaking is going to continue. Now, why is it happening? I think it's going to happen more so in the house of God, because the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. Why? Because again, guys, we are the stewards of the words of life. We have been given the mandate to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And God is going to hold us to a higher accountability. He's going to hold us to a higher standard and hold us to a higher judgment. So therefore, when this shaking continues, the branches within the Christian circles are going to fall first. Not all of them. There'll be many that will remain. The faithful will remain in the land. And remember, in the book of John, it says that every branch that remains in me will bear fruit and it will be sustained. But if it does not bear fruit, it will wither. And John said that the branches that wither and don't bear fruit, they're gathered together and they're thrown into the fire. I know this is a harsh thing to end with here, guys, but again, this is reality. This is where we're at. Listen, End Time Headlines, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Let us know in the chat. Engage with us in the comments, guys. I'd love to hear from you. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button. Again, you can download our free app, guys. You can keep up with everything we put out, podcasts, breaking news, talking points, the prophecy viewpoints that we put out, all the articles, everything's going to be right there at your fingertips. Go to your Apple Store, Play Store, Android Store, just download our free app and you're going to get everything right there. And of course, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, and you'd like to partner with us, you can do that two different ways. You can do it electronically through the app, through the website, or right there by making a check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. We love you. We appreciate you. We will see you guys back here tomorrow on Thursday, December 5th. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.